to order.
So, just for the record, Paige Lawrence and Dave Ritz both indicated in advance that they will not be able to make today. So, everyone else is here in attendance for the record.
Okay. Okay. First item of discussion is public comment. Seeing nobody from the public, does anyone from the committee have any issues or comments that they'd like to bring to the board for discussion?
I'd like to add on business items just for information. I'd like to talk about ADA compliance.
Okay.
Shall we discuss that now, or
we've got a section down here in committee member comments. We can add if it's on the bottom. I think that, so if you want to add under number 7, mm-hmm. that would okay. fit.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah, let's try to pop it in.
Perfect.
Okay. Next item is discussion of the approval of the meeting minutes for the last 1, 2, 3 months.
So we're catching up.
Yes.
I think I sent those out, but for everyone, but they're attached to the agenda. Just
were there any comments? Have you had a chance to review them? I see no comments. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll so move.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. Moving on to our first item of business then is update on the street rehab project. Mr. Afram.
Originally they were supposed to start after Labor Day. They did some concrete work and so on. Since we have a sewer project and there are a couple streets that they are the street contractor would be repaving those streets. And so the street project will be delayed till after the probably the first week of October. So this way until the sewer contractor and sewer project is complete. So they would come in as one move-in versus a couple of move-in and would be requesting then claim or change order for that. So
for mobilization, right?
For mobilization, yeah. So since they're going to be one grinder coming in and doing everything and then the paving, and you know, there will be a delay and they'll start it back again in early October.
We will have a map that will be on our website and go out on our feeder with a detailed calendar for everybody to reference, which I think you requested.
Actually, Vince, or Mayor Pacini, or Mayor Pro Tem Pacini requested that. I gather Francisco is one of those streets that we're fixing the sewer on and will be repaved.
That is correct.
Okay.
And because talking about the sewer project in San Francisco, we found a few things.
Not San Francisco, Francisco.
Francisco. I'd love to go to San Francisco, okay? Maybe the next meeting will be there.
What did they find?
We got a few things. One, it's the type of soil that we have. We've requested them to remove all the soil and not used in the native because of the rocks, so we won't have a cavities similar to the to valley, which were, you know, so they're using a aggregate base mm-hmm. for the backfill, and we've also requested, we found out that the manhole, one of the manholes, the upper manholes, needs to be adjusted, so we have them do a few changes in there.
The manhole has to be adjusted because
it's from one manhole to one manhole is really the flow is almost flat. So we went back and had them redesign, got a few shots outside our project area and adjusted the elevation of one of the manholes in order to get a still almost flat, but it's at least we got some slope.
A little bit of grade, yeah.
A little bit some grade in there.
You adjusted the pipe invert.
Yes, that is correct. So the one of the manholes will be kind of like lifted up. Mm-hmm. And so this way to get some flow in there.
So now, how much pipe did you have to replace as a part of that? And why wasn't it identified during the, because you video inspected all the sewers, correct?
We did inspect that, okay. The
and
video.
And that would have shown a flat spot in the pipeline.
Yes, and it is still the original project is to replace as is on the same grade. There's no low spot on the line, except felt that it is almost flat, that we needed some more slope into it. That's why we've requested to go further to the other second manhole we did a additional survey, so to make sure we see how much we can go. Even the further one, it also very flat. So we took one locations and we were able to raise it.
How many feet?
It's the portion that we laid it is only about 35 feet, 35 to 40 feet. So those are the ones that is going to be redone.
Okay, and this segment of the sewer line is kind of in the middle of Francisco, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Middle of the length of Francisco.
And during that time it was backfilled and temporary asphalt, so it is usable. There is no impact on the neighbors or the residents.
So this was a construction defect back in the day.
It's at the time when it's
when it was installed.
Constructed.
Yeah,
it is.
Do you know when that was constructed? You have any idea?
I have at least 30, 40 years, I would say, in that area.
I think those houses were built around early 1970s, so it was probably constructed then.
At that time, probably, yes. There's a lot of areas which is kind of we notice the sewers from all the surveys that we're doing are kind of flat, almost flat. I mean, it's not, but it's flowing, but it's flat.
Yeah.
So some of those, so we're going back whenever we do that, is try to improve the slope or the grade.
And you're trying to, you're open trenching and doing this additional pipe work to improve the flow because we have a capacity problem or we have an issue other than you say it's a little bit flat. Because I find it a little strange that if you surveyed the two manhole inverts upstream and downstream, you either know that the entire line is flat, and maybe if you have a capacity or people are like getting backups into their homes, there's no backflow prevention or anything, that you might want to identify that and then replace that line up front, not as a change order to the contract. And then if that's not an issue, I find it a little strange that they would lay the sewer with a big kink in it where it would go. If you know the manhole elevations, you said you surveyed them before, why would the sewer be laid with a huge, flat and then kink? Usually they lay it from manhole upstream to manhole downstream, right? How can you take out just a 30-foot piece?
No, okay.
It's from manhole to manhole?
Let me clarify. It is from manhole to manhole, but we started, and you lay it from the lower portion, you go backward when you lay it, okay? The flow is this way, okay? When we noticed that they started to lay about 30 to 40 feet, okay? And we stopped them in order to try to look at the other manholes and so on, even though this is not part of the project. Because if you raise this one or you've changed the elevation, it's going to impact the other ones and so on. So that's why we looked at it. And even, and we came in and says, okay, we need to adjust this manhole so to make it a little bit higher in order to get a better flow in here. So the change order really is only for the 30 feet. that was already, that those are the one that needs to be adjusted, because we're adjusting that manhole so we can get a better flow. Instead of this way, it's going to be a little bit that. So it's not a, we're not changing the whole.
But that should have been identified before the contract went out, right? Because you dip the, if it's only 30 feet from manhole to manhole, you look at the invert downstream, you look at the invert upstream, you calculate the grade if it's too flat.
That is correct.
Right?
That is correct.
You don't wait until you're in construction to replace 30 feet of pipe.
It was surveyed and was done, but at the time of with the construction, we still didn't feel that this is even the slope that it is. I felt, even though it was designed and there is some slope, that is not enough. You know, because you know how in the construction, even though with the surveying and so on, there is some adjustments and so on and all that. And I said, hey, hold it. And that's why we were viewing this or on top of this, because we knew that section is really need to be.
Well, we're not talking about just the 35 feet. So they're still going to replace manhole to manhole, but the other part is already in
that's
the bed.
Already, it's in,
you're
in,
not giving them extra. You're just telling them to lay it in a different slope.
Yeah, but I think what Zia is alluding to is this should have been identified
earlier. Unfortunately,
the thing is that it was raised, but in order to really do something, it's the whole neighborhood. So you don't want to go and change all the neighborhood level, because even from here to the other and so on, it's also real flat. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And it is, and there's no capacity. No capacity problems. And that's why we says, okay, maybe we can keep it, since there's no capacity, keep it the way it is. But then out in the field, we said, hold it. What can we do to improve it? That's what it is. And doing that, it is going to cost about 30 feet relaying it back again.
Which is how much money?
The pipes is same, so it's not, you know, just mainly readjusting them. Yeah.
30 times 50. Well, $15,000.
Without a, you know, any significant slope, how do you move the solids down through the pipe, or do they
exactly?
Yeah, and you know, particularly with everybody practicing water conservation, we're having higher concentrations of solids. So, are we going through and flushing the system more often in anticipation, or
no? I mean, it's as you know, we clean the sewer pipes once every 2 years. I mean, we do them every year, except we do one half, 1 year, the other half the second year, and then except there are some spots where we clean them on a regular basis, mm-hmm. every year, and as needed, and so on.
Well, I suspect if we've got these flat grades, we've been experiencing accumulations of solids, and that creates a corrosive condition for the sewer lines themselves. Are we seeing corrosion of our?
We haven't really.
Deterioration of the pipes.
The most of the problems that we have is with grease and roots. Mm-hmm. Just regular solids, you know, human solids, it's not really we haven't seen the problem from that. The main problem is where there are roots and there are grease, and especially this area, Santiago, to Wanda, and so on. That's one of the areas which is, we have problems all the time.
But here we have a neighborhood section where it's real flat.
The neighborhoods, we haven't, there is a couple of few locations that we have problems with, which we clean, Mike cleans them out on a regular basis through the company.
So how flat
company.
Are they, based on the plan grades or what you found with the survey and during design?
I think it's, normally you need 2%.
No.
You try,
no.
You know, it's...
No, that's wrong.
Well,
which should be.
Okay.
It basically, sewer design is usually designed half full with a minimum velocity. Velocity is really what is needed.
That's
it's
correct.
Not the slope.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, we've designed main sewer lines for OCSD at like 0.5%. So 2% is kind of steep.
It's, I mean, 0.02, yes. I mean, it's...
No, no, 0.5%. So,
okay.
So...
Half a percent.
Right.
Okay.
So
and
basically...
I think, yes.
What was the problem with the sewer line that we had to replace it? That's really the
there is a broken.
Oh, it's broken.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's broken.
So regardless,
yeah.
So it had to be replaced.
So
replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's broken. No, yeah. But we're trying. It's a.
That
if I'm not mistaken,
that should have been identified during the video inspection. That would have been a flat.
And it was.
Right.
It was,
okay.
And it was identified that it is flat, and I think it's. It's
it was broken,
point.
Not flat, broken.
Broken.
When it's broken, you have to go in and replace it.
And it is, it was identified that between from manhole to manhole, it is flat.
Okay.
So both was identified that way because it was surveyed, dipped, and checked, you know. But as I said, I'm trying to improve the flatness so we won't have any issue. That's... the main thing. And yes, it is going to cost us 30 to 40 feet additional, you know, relaying those pipes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather pay that rather than having an issue in the future.
Yeah, we want it fixed.
Yeah.
I think that's
so it's broken because of tree roots?
Yeah, there is. Yes.
So are we doing something to prevent the roots from coming back in? You think,
well, it is, you know, we're excavating and we're putting a new pipeline and it's that,
no
root barriers, no. Cannot put a root barriers for the whole length of the pipe.
No, just where the break
where the,
I mean, it's...
break occurred, if it's a tree, you know where the
yeah,
tree is.
It's...
usually 16 feet or so.
There are, I mean, they've cleaned all these roots and so on and all that, but no, we didn't put any root barriers. That is correct.
I'm not familiar with root barriers. Is it like a fabric type material or what?
It's basically, yeah, it's like a plastic sheet that they put in. It's very simple.
So the root wouldn't puncture it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It wouldn't go that way.
It's a preventative measure, and you can't do it on all sides of a tree. You usually typically just do it on one side to prevent the tree from failing. But in known cases where you want to save the trees and you have an issue either with a driveway, a sidewalk, a sewer, then a root barrier is justified and it's relatively cheap. And there's a standard. AWA has a standard in their book, in the Green Book, that everyone, all the contractors, should be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of agencies use it. Effectively.
I was talking to Wayne Silzell. He said he spoke with the project manager at the that's overseeing the repair of that particular piece of line, sewer line. He said that when they backfilled it with native soil. And that area of the city, of course, it's very rocky. And that the contractor said that, this is just what's reported to me, that... and dropping the fill back in, the rocks hit the clay pipe and busted it, and it's been that way.
Before
you that?
I mean...
back when they constructed, you know, cracked the pipe, or...
Yeah.
Is there any evidence of that, or that you were there?
To be honest, I didn't see any pipes that are broken from top.
Okay.
I mean, if there is backfill, you would assume that, but no, it is, really, it's, the failure is the bottom.
Okay.
Was. So,
are we getting back to my previous question? Are we seeing any deterioration of our sewer lines from accumulated solids? You know, just from sulfide buildup or anything?
No.
Okay.
I mean, most of the problems that we've seen in the sewer, either root getting into them, or there is something low. point to settlements and so on and all that. But
clay pipes usually don't.
They don't.
They don't erode that easy. Uh-huh. So you have clay pipes in old cities that have been there for hundreds of years.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just look at Los Angeles. They have a lot of their major sewer lines are 99 years old and up. And we're talking big sewer lines from the Hyperion and all of that. And they've done just fine. Clay has been really resilient. It's not really prone to erosion like concrete maybe or metal pipes. Steel pipes.
Okay.
So that's where you have a big problem.
Okay.
Well, anyway, maybe a recommendation for next time would be to, since we know areas that are flat, well, I'm not really sure. It sounds like it was replaced because it was cracked because of tree roots. I think I'd like, if the committee agrees, we should recommend that in cases where there's tree root intrusion, that maybe a root barrier would be in order to protect the new installation from future busting, and that before the work is put into construction or before the design is sent to the contractor for construction, that since we know which areas are flat, either from the as-built or from the design survey, that be evaluated along with the sewer videos before the design goes to construction, so we can identify it and
avoid
the change orders. Get it budgeted correctly.
Sure. Yep.
What other streets besides Francisco are we doing replace?
We replace in Fernando.
Okay.
It's complete. They finished that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is Santiago. They'll be coming and working on Santiago in this area.
Santiago.
There is a couple of years ago we did from what is the name of the street right there?
Prado Woods.
All the way. No. Prado? Just up to the in front of the
City Hall,
and now it's a little bit further.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all slip lining.
No, that's it's going to be actual replacement, yes. And that's one of the areas that we always worry about, you know, because it's close to the center and there's a lot of grease and buildup.
Do we have a slope problem in that area?
Off my head, I don't, you know, I got to go back to the plans and check, but it has been... recommended to be replaced
because of cracks.
I apologize. I would have to bring the plans. I mean, if you want me to give you an exact answer on that, but it was reviewed and surveyed and so on and all that. You know,
where do we connect with the sanitation district line?
I think it goes to. It's outside. It's within Orange County.
Capella.
Yeah.
Okay, so everything comes down to
goes
down Villa Park Road and then goes out. Okay.
The storm drain keeps going down, though.
Pardon?
The storm drain, the water tributary area goes all the way down. So water, storm water goes all the way down.
I was talking about the sewer, sanitary sewer.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, any other items of discussion on the sewer project?
No, I think that's good.
Okay. Next item is an update on the storm drain, Henderson storm drain.
It is in repair. She is out there every day, and she's hired an attorney who is contacting us on a daily basis with her recommended engineering changes. And we are dealing through our attorney, but they are moving very quickly. If you go up there, you can see the pipes being put in and et cetera, segments. By the end of this week, they'll probably have laid all the concrete piping.
Oh, wow. Great.
And, you know, she's everything about the depth of the pipe to what's on top of it and what kind of dirt they're using and what angles, et cetera. So she's quite actively engaged. So I would, you know, just recommend if you go there, you don't speak to her because you'll be deposed. Mm-hmm. And we'll be going into closed session on Tuesday or Wednesday about some of the discussions, because there's an issue about what she believes ought to be replaced. So we're having those discussions.
When is the contractor scheduled to be finished?
They'll lay the pipe by this week, and then when do you?
They have 60 days, except most probably they'll be finished by middle of October.
They're ahead of schedule at this point.
Yeah, way ahead. Okay. Way ahead.
So when are they going to cast in place that thing sort of at the end of this week then? The bend, the big bend?
The bend, yes. Today, matter of fact, yesterday they did the steel and the forming and the steel, and they'll pour it today.
She was about the forming of the steel, so she's
oh, it's gonna be thicker.
She wants it thinner. I mean, it's a very interesting conversation. So she's at times standing on her patio filming everything that happens.
So that's one of your neighbors, right, Matt?
Yeah.
With her floppy.
We are
covered.
Listening but not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could we have some, at least for the closed session, could we have some photos of what's going on there?
Sure.
She has a lot.
Oh, it's everything. Every time anyone walks on there, she's got recorded.
Yeah, she does.
Everything. So I wouldn't encourage a lot of... She's... Again, she stopped contacting us directly. It's now her turn. He's on her. We probably get 5 to 10 emails a day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty active.
And also, I think the contractor talks to her too. Obviously, she's there all the time.
Not as much anymore.
That's what I was going to say, because contractor is telling her, I think, what's in the plans and what's not in the plans. So. And they're even making jokingly, you know, yeah, we can do that too, but it's not in the contract.
No, the contractor has been, we've told the contractor to not engage.
Yeah.
And just.
But, you know, it's true. I mean, she comes in with some food for the laborers and so on and all that. And, what are you doing in here? And why this, that? And so
the guys. It's hard not to talk to her. I mean, I think that's.
But the actual. The superintendent or that they're all well aware, everybody's aware, that they cannot, you know, anything to refer them to the city. Mm-hmm. And we cannot have a gag order on them, you know.
Okay. All right. Next item is the Cannon Wall project.
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to deal with that at all. A few other exciting things going on around the city.
Okay, let's table the Cannon Wall discussion to next meeting, please.
Sure.
Next item is the...
Infrastructure management. We were commissioned originally to come up with an infrastructure management plan. Mm-hmm. And we really haven't... We've tabled it a lot because it's always been on the agenda, but we should talk about it for... Table it again. I don't know. I defer, but it's on there. We do have, again, as part of the original charter of the group, it was to come up with a plan.
Well, I think, you know, rather than trying to develop a plan all at once, maybe we can start thinking about, developing a pavement management plan, let's say, as a first order business. And then, you know, after you get that, maybe a sewer management plan, and then a storm drain management plan. Here we identify what all the components of each of those categories of infrastructure might be, and how can we best program restoration and maintenance of each facility. So, take it into smaller bites.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, though, you have... already a payment management plan that you get updated every other year or something. That's what I remember from
that
our
is
earlier
correct.
Discussions, right?
That is correct.
Well, it's really a...
Every 2 years.
Payment repair plan, but not a... There's... we need components for how are we going to do preventive maintenance, for example? Mm-hmm. How are we going to, you know, what is our plan to try to keep our, you know, once we, let's say, once we fix a street, mm-hmm. how do we keep it in good condition so that rather than just let it deteriorate until it's, you know, it gets to a point where we have to repair it again? Mm-hmm. You know, what, how can we, and how can we maintain our streets, for example, to reduce our costs by being more forward-thinking? Mm-hmm. And, you know, same with sewers and storm drains, too.
So maintenance, you're talking maybe more like a maintenance management?
Yeah, an ongoing management. How can we've got this asset, how can we best manage that asset? Not just, you know, we know what certainly we're doing a pavement assessment every couple of years now, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, these are the highest priorities to repair, but okay, well, what, you know, how can we, recognizing that we're going to be hopefully in business indefinitely as a city, how can we manage this asset mm-hmm. so that we can keep it in the best condition and keep our costs, more manageable?
Yeah. I think the pavement management plan also addresses maintenance, because the higher ranked streets generally, the ones that fall in between major rehab, and they also identify based on their scoring issues, what needs to be slurried and what needs to be overlaid and what needs to be reconstructed. So the slurries are considered more maintenance activities mm-hmm. rather than full-on rehabilitation activities. So they do identify it to some extent already. I think the bigger question is, how do we allocate the money that we have? Where do you want to focus it? How do we split it between the major rehab and the actual preventive, especially for the streets that we're fixing right now? Because generally slurries last, 3 to 5 years? In that mm-hmm. range. So once we pave it, and since we're using rubber on a lot of these streets, those should be programmed if they're in excellent once they're paved, they're in excellent condition. So 3 to 5 years, they should be tabled for slurry.
Yeah.
So, I agree. More of a financial exercise than technical, because I think technical is covered by Agron's consultant. I think, you know, that pavement management plan will tell you, you know, what streets needs to be redone, what streets needs to be maintained by just doing minimum to extend the life of it, let's say for another 5-10 years mm-hmm. or so. But I think when city can do all those things, I mean, that seems like the missing piece that, I mean, right now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're just doing it on a regular basis every 2 years, whatever.
Every year.
Or you're doing it every year, the
construction. The pavement management?
Yeah.
No, construction. Construction, we try to combine it every 2 years
every
so
two
we get
years,
a bigger
yeah.
project rather than having only small projects, which is become very costly.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, one thing I was thinking is, and you're doing this with, and you don't have in-house sources for sure, right? None of this maintenance can be done with. Is there any way?
We're moving forward on that.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any way, like with City of Orange or, you know, some neighboring city and stuff, is there a way that, because they do maintenance, if I'm not mistaken. I think Orange has some capacity, don't they? Some larger cities, I thought, that have at least a maintenance group that,
water. I think water has a stronger maintenance, because they're always responding to blowouts or whatever in the mm-hmm. streets of Orange. So they have the capability, I think, to tear up a street and repair their water facilities and then patch it back. But as far as, I guess, other than patching potholes, that's
or
about it.
Yeah.
Well, let's say, you know, if you look at Orange, they I don't know if they're still doing it as aggressively as they have in the past, but they do a lot of crack filling. to try to, you know, maintain the pavement so that it doesn't deteriorate and result in structural failures. You know, if you drive down Taft, you can see it's, you know, a lot of crack filling. We aren't doing it at this point, so we need to, you know, start figuring out how to program that in.
The problem, you know, with Orange, they kind of let the horse out of the barn first. Mm-hmm. So streets, like, they may be filling Taft, but you drive down Walnut and you can hear the subgrade cracking underneath your tires with your window open. And they go out now and they try to patch and fill the cracks. It's obviously the subgrade is already long gone. So doing it after the fact is kind of a useless waste of money. They should be actually going after funds and actually putting that street or others that look that bad on the priority list for repair, because as soon as the rain hits, as soon as the next big rain hits, those cracks are going to open up just like they did on Tustin and a lot of the other streets. So.
Well, we have lots and lots of cracks around this town, and if we can get in and start doing some preventive maintenance, we can maintain the sub base and prevent your forestall structural failures until we can get the resources to go back and, you know, rehabilitate the street.
So is that something you said you were working on something?
Yeah,
is that something we can do it maybe?
Yeah, Orange does not do crack sealing.
They don't?
Not that they do pot.
They fill potholes. They fill probably potholes. With coal. Mm.
They do not need to do any crack sealing at this point, because we've talked to them. Anaheim.
They stop doing it? Because there's lots of patches.
There's lots of patches. They do patches.
No, not patches. There's lots of crack filling.
But not recent.
Maybe not recent.
Recent. So they've had some financial, you know, in addressing their financial issues. That's sort of one of the things that they let out, like you said, and they don't see that as particularly the highest priority. So Orange is not as pursuing it as aggressively. Anaheim is the same. That tends to be some of the things that cities cut first, very candidly. You probably experience that. The cities say that, you know, they'd rather do the big, you know, slurry of maintenance and all those kinds of things, the bigger projects. And so they generally focus, Anaheim focuses on potholes as well. Mm-hmm. That's what they'll come help fill, and so will Orange fill potholes, and we have used them on times to help fill potholes, but that's generally where the extent of they don't employ crews, if you will, to crack seal. I think that's what your experience is too, correct?
Right.
Not to say it's not a good idea, and we're trying to move in that direction, but cities have cut that because of financial constraints. That's where the first area tends to be their reductions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, infrastructure in general is, you know, since it's such a large budget item, it's something that is easy to kick down the road.
You're right, exactly. So they'll just kick it down the road. The potential loss of the gas tax revenue is scaring everybody away from some of that stuff, too. Because if that goes away, that's a big chunk on that. Mm-hmm. That will be a huge impact for Orange, some of these larger cities in particular.
So going back to the infrastructure management plan, when do we... Seems like we come in here and we do these business items, but the committee doesn't meet. And goes out and looks at streets and gets really involved with any of this, because we're only limited to three people, I guess. We can't really have a working... is that correct?
From around that, we can't have a majority, correct.
Yeah.
We cannot have it without it being a published meeting, posted meeting.
So how many people are in the committee officially?
Residents?
Seven.
So
we could have four.
No, four would be a constituted, a majority.
A majority.
50% plus is a constitutes a majority, so three.
Three max.
So we'll have to divide up into three.
So I will caution you, if you formally establish a subcommittee, that's a Brown Act too. If you formally say this is a subcommittee to work on pavement management plan and designate three of you to do it, you've just created a standing committee that's a Brown Act. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. I'm just—that's the rules of the game.
So even though,
if you guys meet on your own, it's fine. If you just decide we're going to meet and do it, great, three of you. But if if the chair would designate, say, the three of you to go meet on this, you created a committee. You created a meeting that needs to be public.
Even though we don't, this committee has no teeth whatsoever.
It doesn't matter. It's a Brown Act committee created by the council. Once the council created the committee, they created a Brown Act entity.
So I think you're not suggesting having subcommittees working on different management plans, but you're just saying the field trips first. I mean, field trips, we can just arrange
two and three.
And,
well, we talked about field trips the last 3 months.
Yeah, but I think we were kind of waiting for Bob, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe to see where his priorities were, so we can make sure we hit those.
Actually, I think the challenge has been staff's been consumed with trying to get the contracts out for the street rehab, the sewer, and the storm drain repair. So we only have one Akram.
Poor guy.
Part time.
So I guess if still, I mean, once the dust settles, hopefully it is settling. Right?
So maybe I think the mayor hit on something where we should come back and bring the pavement management plan and talk about what ought to be in there and sort of increment or compartmentalize it, as I think what you said. So let's look at the pavement
what's
management.
In it first.
Let's see what's in there and see what needs to be bolstered and things like that, and sort of attack it that way. And work on the pavement management first, and then we get through that, then we'll go look at the storm drain and bring in that and start talking. Okay, now here's what we need to do, and maybe that's the way I think following on you would, that would work. Mm-hmm. So maybe next meeting we'll bring in the pavement management. We'll talk about it. And we can talk about, I'll send it out in advance, mm-hmm. and you guys can say, well, we need to do this, we need to add that element here, and then we can talk about how do we get there, and maybe that seems to be a good approach to, mm-hmm. I think that incrementalizing, we can realistically accomplish that.
Yeah.
So I can agendize that if that works.
Yeah, if we could, you know, and if Akram could walk us through it and at the meeting and describe, okay, these are the elements, this is...
Yeah, and you could say, well, what about the, can we add, can we bolster this? What would it take to do that?
Yeah.
We could talk about even the financial. What is it, you know, what do we need, what does the committee want to recommend, or those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, ultimately, it goes back to city council. You know, what do we believe is needed to, you know, adequately fund what, maintenance of our, for example, the streets?
Yeah. But this committee making a recommendation to council would be helpful.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're trying to
do. Exactly. Yeah, because right now, nobody on the city council is a registered PE. We have, you know, we just see a budget number, and of course, there are lots of other things that people would like to do with the money. So it's like, well, street in front of my house looks fine. Let's, you know, let's do something else. Mm-hmm. You know, we really, you know, I'm. My thought of having this group is that we can make strong professional recommendations as, okay, this is what we need to budget for street maintenance based on our working with staff and assessing the current condition of our streets. And this is the most, you know, to try to reduce the long-term cost of maintaining our streets. This is what we need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the storm drain project is a bad example, but things like that can drain the city's budget very rapidly. And I think, I don't know how you can, you know, educate the public, but I've been seeing like a little bit on the that email.
The feeder?
I haven't seen the feeder, but the, what is that, Villa Park East? There is that email thing.
Next door.
Yeah, like I've been seeing lately, you know, because of this recent incident at the City Hall and stuff, but I've seen more and more infrastructure is brought up in those discussions. So people, like you said, I mean, most people don't think, you know, if my street looks okay, you know, let's leave it alone and let's beautify the whatever, this, you know, the landscaping or something. But once people start to realize where infrastructure is really going to eat up most of your budget, then I think the preventive maintenance should be really the high priority. I mean, I don't know how do you educate the public, but I think that's what we need to somehow show to them, that, hey, if you ignore it, then, you know, you're going to, I mean, I don't know how much. Maybe you can do at least some example of how much of the current budget is going to be spent on this infrastructure fixes and stuff. That's, you know, that's going to be a big chunk. I mean, that's going to be a big percentage. So, yeah, I think we need to figure out, I mean, you as the city council people need to figure out how to relay that message and have people understand infrastructure is important. I mean, I think.
Well, and part of it is to educate the city council.
That's true. I guess you start with that, and then, and then go to the general public. But I, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, just that one incident, I think, is. I mean, again, not using that, you can you share some of the information without, you know, going into the detail of that project? But I think that project is going to suck up, you know, good chunk of money. And again, that wasn't something I think we could have prevented, right? I mean, I guess you could have prevented by replacing it long time ago, but how would you know when it's going to fail, you know? But I think there's similar things, you know, like you're mentioning, is doing these repairs, you know, maybe, you know, more frequently, I think will end up maybe saving us some money on the overall project. You know, maybe the overall project can be done once every 3 years or something, you know, if that's possible, you know?
Yeah, I think that, you know, my understanding is that if you do preventive maintenance, it's 14 times less expensive than trying to go back in and repair a street that's totally failed. You know, if you can just do a thin overlay and, you know, take care of or repair some structural failures and do a thin layer
overlay,
then that's a whole lot cheaper than having to rip out the entire street down to the base layer and rebuild it. So, you know, part of what I'm hoping to do is that we educate the council that that this is the cheap way to go, plus we'll end up with better looking streets.
Okay, I think taking a bite with the management plan, payment management first, and then we can move on to the other ones. Yeah. I think.
Overall, I think the pavement management plan shows that the streets in Villa Park are really pretty good, generally. Mm-hmm. But as Bob mentioned at the last meeting, there are streets that have never been touched since they were constructed. So there's obviously some areas in the city which really should have some attention and some focus to get everybody up to, you know, in the city kind of up to the same level where we can maintain it by preventive maintenance. But when you're talking about 1960 streets or 1970, early 70s streets that haven't been touched, then, you know, there's some serious money that I think has to be spent now, or identified at least, to at least help us maintain that high level of PCI index and be able to focus more on preventive.
You know, every resident in the street, in the city, deserves to have a street that's in good condition in front of their house.
Right. And, absolutely.
I guess there are a couple of examples. One is the Charter Fleet and James, that you there. That was the original subdivision in the city, built in 1961-62, not been touched. And it's got large or very wide cracks in it. You know, overall, you know, if you're a casual resident just driving down the street, it looks fine. But if you start looking at it like an engineer and, okay, how can recognizing that those cracks are going to lead to structural failures, well, maybe it'd be worth spending some money right now to get in, fix those cracks, and get a thin overlay, and avoid a major expenditure. Another street that I think is my poster child for really bad streets is Dodson, and that's, I think the PCI on that one came out at 75, and it mystifies me how they did that, because it's all a series of structural failures and subsidence. It's just replete with cracks, and you see subsidence where you've got alligatoring, and it's a mess. And part of it is we've been ignoring the street, but also this decades ago the city put in a storm drain or a sewer line down the length of the street, and the compaction wasn't properly conducted, and so there was a linear subsidence. But lots of this stuff around the street, around the city.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, James is a very busy street because everybody picks up their kids off of that loop. So when design comes, the TI for that loop is going to be high. You know, don't
TI.
Use the traffic index,
uh-huh.
which is basically determines the thickness of the asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
And for that street, somebody that's going to design it should be looking at a higher traffic index because of all these people every day driving there, waiting for their kids, and moving out, which is a lot busier than any normal
residential
street.
Right.
Yeah.
So you design those for like a TI of 5, so maybe we should up the TI to 6.
Yeah.
For this area or something like
for
that.
For this particular loop,
yeah.
That's why you probably are seeing the cracks and everything.
Well,
or the soil.
The cracks, and it's clay soils out in that
right.
part of town. But the, I think it's impressive how well the street was constructed in the first place.
It's held up a long time.
Yeah, you don't see much in the way of subsidence there. It's just the cracks, and you're going to get cracks in asphalt regardless. But the asphalt is also worn considerably.
Yeah,
the asphalt is weathered away, and you're just left with a real bumpy, exposed aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan. We'll under the infrastructure management plan, then we'll bring back the pavement management.
Excuse me, I'll change the title, bring it back, and
right.
we'll send it out.
We'll discuss it. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Next item is the Villa Park High School building update.
We couldn't make that. Sorry, we couldn't make
that. You know what? They actually continued the item because of our, we sent a letter complaining, and I sent a letter, and sort of the superintendent was not very happy, but she pulled it off their agenda.
Oh, wow.
We subsequently, Akram and I met with them, and we believe we have a much improved plan. So
excellent.
They will be using the light at Nichols to make a left-hand, so westbound will create a left-hand turn lane using existing signal at Nichols to turn into the school.
So,
so we'll be turning that into a four-way stop light instead of a three-way stop light, correct?
Correct.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that, and the primary eastbound entrance will still be the parking lot down on the far end. But we've now created two entrances in the long runway. So on Tuesday night, Wednesday, the council will be meeting, and we recommend that there's a traffic flow plan that's very acceptable from our perspective, and we'll actually improve the conditions that we have right now, because somebody going eastbound has to turn against traffic. If they actually have a turn light, that's an improvement.
Oh, that's a huge.
So and it's an existing light, so that's another advantage. So we think we've come to a successful resolution, so we're recommending that we concur with the school district's traffic flow and move forward.
And the city will not have to pay for the upgrade of that signal. The school district
that they're doing as part of the bond. That's the discussion.
Sounds like
so
they haven't agreed in totality to that, but that's the, that's
Akram is happy with that traffic.
Oh, he suggested it.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. they finally at one point we just said, well, we can, they were saying, well, we're going to go ahead and do this in CEQA. And I said, well, we're going to go see in court. I think I actually said that to them. Because we'll just, okay. And they said, well, that'll involve delays to do any changes to the plan. And I said, well, court could last how much longer? And, it could be a couple of years in court.
Mm-hmm.
We could make this thing go forever if we have a desire to do so. And they said, okay. And then they looked at Akram and finally said, okay, what do you want? What will work? What will work? And he suggested, why don't you do this? And they said, oh, well, we could try that. And so they came back within a week and said, yeah, that'll work. With their traffic consultants.
So really, it's two loops.
Two loops. You got.
Correct.
You have the eastbound loops and the westbound.
But people will be able to come in.
But they will be merging into one.
Yes.
One drop off lane, basically.
There's a big long lane that they have. The lane, the drop off. They're creating a drop off that will start all the way from the westbound parking lot. That whole parking lot. So it will actually, the drop off lane will be probably 2 to 3 times larger than it is right now in school. So we've moved the drop-off from Taft onto the school grounds.
Yeah.
So people will be able to move in and drop off, and it works out really, really a lot better.
A lot safer.
So they still don't want to move that tennis court to somewhere
else
to make that.
You know what? They as long as they come up with a plan that works from a traffic perspective, we can't tell them what to do on their school grounds.
Yeah.
Because they have this
state
park.
Mayor Pro Tem Rossini and I have been meeting with the superintendent, Dr. Hansen, and we did, in our last meeting a couple weeks ago, we did suggest that, you know, even though they've worked this out, that they consider taking out that extra tennis court to provide for more, you know, freer flow on that side of their campus. Agreed, you know, we can't tell them what to do, but we point out that's really kind of a common sense thing to do. Just
because
so
it does tend to back up traffic out on Santiago
and
when people come in.
And it's unsafe for anybody using it, including students.
Walking
pedestrians.
Or biking.
Yeah.
Well, but
exactly.
The way this entrance will go, people have a light to come out, which they don't have right now.
Right.
So this should improve the flow.
Yeah, but the shortcutters, like people that live on my side of town, well, that's the, if you want to avoid all the traffic backup that used to occur on Taft, a lot of people still are racing down Santiago. And they're like backing traffic up in both directions to cut into that driveway to get.
And there are those of us that just like to walk their dog down that thing.
Right,
and it's
scary. It's scary.
Yeah, a car comes around there and they don't see you.
Or they don't want to stop. They're in a rush, and you have kids walking from the Starbucks or the donut place, and so you have a real mess of traffic in both directions.
Their primary objection is that in order to have sanctioned sporting tennis CIF events, they have to have a certain number of courts, so they would have to relocate that court, and they're not willing to do that. That's their objection. We suggested it. We make filaments wide. Just widening it would make sense.
They have room on the other side.
I told them that.
Snack shack or something.
We suggested
there.
A year ago.
Yeah.
But they don't want to include it as part of this.
We do have a new superintendent, and you know, I think you've been talking to staff about that, and maybe.
Well, I've talked to her about it. I talked to her about it.
Well, we'll keep pressing. The parent resolution of the high school traffic led us into a discussion with Dr. Hansen about the traffic situation at Serrano. Of course, talking about the high school, pointing to Serrano, we don't want to create another Serrano issue. So part of the agreement that we had with, or at least I had with Dr. Hansen was, you know, if we can resolve this, we'd like, work with you to resolve this. We'd like you to commit to help us resolve the Serrano issue. And so we brought that up at our last meeting, and we looked at an aerial photo of Serrano. And if you look at, there's an aerial photo of, can't see it real well, but of Serrano, the Serrano campus, and there's an option that we proposed. There's an option that we proposed to Dr. Hansen of bringing an entrance off of Meats and just running it. And this is just a general concept. We'll have to, we'll have to work out all the details to make it, figure out how to make this work, because there's always going to be some issues that need to be solved. But what we have right now is very dangerous for the students, and it's a mess on Serrano Avenue in front of Serrano Elementary. But bring the traffic in off of Meats through the back. There's just a little triangle of private property that was cut off the tail of a residence lot when they put in Meats. But there's already a curb cut, a driveway entrance on the west side of the campus off of Meads. Bring the traffic in through there. There's already a gate there, a double wide gate. Mm-hmm. And then cross the west end of that piece of property. And there's another gate on the school side, which is a double wide, and it's paved all the way up to the gate. So basically, it would involve paving maybe 100 feet between Meats and the campus, bring traffic in through there, and then exit. You could have a drop-off on campus behind Serrano, and then exit Serrano Avenue and provide the pickup drop-off on campus rather than out on the narrow Serrano Elementary with all the traffic is also associated with the Sierra Villa. So it's, you know, certainly it's not going to be a perfect solution, but I think it's going to, you know, if we can develop work with the school district on that, it could be something that's a lot safer and less congested than what we currently have. And, you know, Dr. Hansen's first response was, well, that's going to cost some money. We don't have much money. And I said, well, how much is a student's life worth? Because I routinely witness, let's say, particularly in the morning, people stopping at the red curb across from Serrano Elementary and having their kids run across moving traffic to cross the street. It's, you know, too many close calls. It's one of these days we're going to not have a close call and we're going to have somebody get hit. So anyway, she agreed that that's something we could talk about. And, you know, I'd like the committee to be thinking about that and how we could, you know, if you go out in that area, walk around that area, just take a look at how we can make it work. If you walk on the west side of the Serrano Elementary, you can get a good view of how little modification would be needed to make that work. There are some issues about, I guess the school district has some concerns about letting off kids on the right, on the right side of their car, and then have to cross traffic to get back. They have that issue with the, you know, they have some of those same issues with the current non-arrangement where people just drop off their kids anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great alternative.
It would be a good reliever, I guess.
Yeah.
Take some traffic off of Serrano.
Well, the reason we didn't show up is we were stuck in L.A. We got home at 8 o'clock. And then I said, should we go? And we said, oh, forget it.
They continued the item because we expressed our opposition. I told them I would be there to object, and they didn't want to have that discussion in their school board.
So did you show up too?
No, because she deleted it before. I told her, I said, you know, I will show up, and I said, until I see the deletion memo, I'm still planning on attending. Yeah. And so she called me about 4 o'clock and emailed me a copy of the deletion. And so we said, okay, I won't be there.
And I looked up these. They did not include this as public information to anybody. These two exhibits.
Oh, the original ones, yes.
Yeah, so I went through their packages online.
The revised one, they'll be, it's significantly different. It's much improved, and I think Ackerman and I will believe it will improve conditions as they exist today, which, you know, using a light for a left-hand turn, an existing light is a much improved condition for us.
Just as a aside, in regards to the high school improvement plan, because I haven't studied it a lot, have they addressed the drainage problems that exist on that campus? Okay. And does that involve major storm drain, and does that connect to...
No, they're installing some... They're having to do some modifications on campus for that, and they've identified those for us.
Yeah, they've eliminated the basement, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also are putting the building up at a higher elevation above the flood level.
I think the problem is the plaza.
The flooding zone will still be there. It's just that the new science building will not be... It'll be flood-proofed.
Right.
But the plaza
they
will
didn't
still
address
be flooded.
The flooding
no, they're doing a second
the
phase of their second phase of their. They're doing. They've still got 30 to 40 million of that. They're still going to go for that school to do some of their further project. They're not touching a lot of the other campus yet.
Wow.
That's the school district. I mean, you know, that's kind of where they're.
Well, they have money to replace the football field, but they don't have money to alleviate. I think they could do pretty simply. Alleviate the 12 inches of standing water that occurred like during that last major storm. I mean, I think that leads to mold in the buildings, that leads to damage in the restrooms. I mean, the kids can't walk through that plaza during heavy storms. There's 6 to 8 inches of water that stands there. That's disgusting. And they haven't addressed that as part of phase one?
No.
Wow.
Well, you should attend the meeting.
I think
yeah,
I need
to the
attend.
School board meeting.
Take the pictures.
I'll take the pictures. Wow.
And that's there.
You have pictures of
Spartan. Oh, I have it. They call it Lake Sparta.
Can you bring it to our next meeting?
I will dig up that. I might even be able to dig up my daughter's board, science fair board on that, which shows the water. Mm. It's really so bad. Mm. So bad when it rains. And that wasn't I don't even know if that was at a 25-year storm that year.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't even that. And but they know about it. They must. They have it's to know about it.
It's in the FEMA flood hazard zone.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the FEMA flood zone comes down along Janus and goes across down Serrano Avenue. I guess even Villa Park Elementary is in the flood hazard zone, and part of Sierra Villa, and certainly the high school.
Wow.
And anyway, yeah. It's a mess.
Yeah, they have to for the new buildings for sure. They have to bring them out of the floodplain, but I think those are
which is phase
public
one.
Safety
phase,
and health.
Phase
issues.
One is what they're doing, and so that's what we're addressing as part of their phase one.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we did ask the previous superintendent to support. Or work with the city to support a request to the flood control district to do a project to reduce the flood hazard mm-hmm. zone through Villa Park, particularly since three of the four campuses are in the flood zone.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get anywhere with the flood control district. But it's something.
When it doesn't rain, they don't care.
And maybe it's something for us to keep hammering the flood control district about.
Absolutely.
Or the school district.
Well, the school district, I think, would support it. It's just we need the flood control district to do a project.
Would that be city or
county?
County, yeah.
County has to do that.
County doesn't want to spend a penny on anything. Unless you go and talk to the supervisors that are running again.
Yeah.
That's when you get action.
Yeah. You talk about the ADA compliance applications.
Yes, let's move on to
okay,
that.
We do have an item in the agenda for doing some curb modifications, I believe, for ADA compliance.
Yes.
And we'll need to look into, identifying what are the most. There are a number of curbs that are not ADA compliant, but which ones would be the highest priority? I think that Mayor Pro Tem Rossini suggested that those in the vicinity of the schools might be the highest priority. Given that, on the north side of Serrano Avenue, we also have a number of telephone poles or utility poles. I don't know what the what is the obligation of Ed or whoever owns those poles to provide for ADA access.
It's the city.
It's a city.
Okay, city. So but around the pole, you only need federally, you need 32 inches.
Mm-hmm.
State requires 36 inches.
Correct.
Okay.
So basically, you need to comply with the state, you need 36 inches.
Okay, so we need to measure and find out.
Yeah, we typically, when we do projects, we actually go out with the tape.
Yeah.
And measure it and see.
Have you looked into safe routes to school funding? Because this is a prime candidate for that type of funding. Since we have so many schools in the near vicinity within our city, that if we can identify the school routes, those walking routes, and we can probably qualify for some safe routes to school funding for both the sidewalk and the ramps, anything that helps kids go to and from the campuses. So I don't know what the deadlines are for those, but could we look into that maybe? Because I think that would be a prime candidate for this type of work, and maybe we can supplement our budget or maybe get it all paid for if we're lucky.
Well, maybe you could put that on the agenda for next time, too. Just off the top of my head, I think there's that walkway from Meats to the top of Feather Hill, which is deteriorated significantly, and it's maybe that could be we could fund it too.
Yeah, it's right as well as the elementary school. Yeah,
yeah, as well as the ADA.
Anything that the students use to get access the school sites can be qualified for that. So. I mean, it's worth looking at for sure.
Yeah, there are a lot of cities taking advantage of that. I know, we do a lot of that work too. So yeah, it would be good to get some funding and get this done.
On the, let's say it's Saravilla, we've got right where the catwalk comes through, mm-hmm. we have an ADA, what appears to be an ADA compliant ramp on the northeast corner, but on the campus side, there's not, we don't have a ADA compliant curb. It's just, you know, there's just the curb there, no ramp. Is that curb owned by the school district or is it owned by the city?
All the sidewalks and curbs are owned by the city.
Okay. So that would be one that we would Correct. Have to pay for. Okay.
Unless they're doing some improvements in there, we might condition them or require them to do, but it is city owned.
Okay.
Somebody's going on? Vibrating there.
Something is vibrating.
We'll agenda that for next meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so is there now an exhibit that identifies the school routes that within the city? I mean, is that part of the general plan, maybe? Or
that should be.
That should be part of the general plan. But
we'll check if there is.
Yeah, because if we could bring that exhibit to the next meeting, that'll help us identify which areas we're talking about and maybe quantify the lineal footage of what we're talking about.
I don't remember seeing that in the general plan.
Not in the general plan. I'll check to see if we have one been done before or not.
Yeah, I think the objective in the past was that the school routes were where we do have sidewalks, like along Serrano and down Nichols to Taft and around Villa Park Elementary and down Lincoln, we have sidewalks.
And we're limited with where the sidewalks are.
Right, but the idea was that they only wanted to have sidewalks along the school routes, the major school routes, so that's...
But that doesn't mean that we can't build new sidewalks where we think they're needed for safe routes to school, correct?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, most agencies, they will have gaps, and in order to fill those gaps to the schools, they have to construct new sidewalk mm-hmm. to improve the flow and safety of mm-hmm. travel. Okay.
As long as the city wants to build sidewalks.
Exactly.
Safety of the children.
And it's also a matter
children.
Of getting the funding. Or, I mean, if it's you're going to have to do it in order to get the funding, then mm-hmm. you're going to have to, bend the desires a little bit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And also, are we also looking at improving ADA access to our City Hall facilities?
City Hall, no, we're not touching that.
Not
at this moment.
Okay.
We are, it would be a significant remodel of this building to do a chamber, to remodel the chamber, because right now you would have to have wheelchair access to the dais, which we don't, which would be a total reconfiguration of that room.
Yeah, yeah.
A total, a very expensive reconfiguration of that room.
But just
you'd
for...
have to close the door.
But just for...
Once you open the door for the whole thing, and so that's, we have, that room is not... And so once you start getting into the library is accessible and the front entrance is accessible.
Okay.
But as far as the rooms themselves, I mean, the restrooms are ADA compliant, et cetera, but all the amenities are not necessarily. So the council chambers is not. So we could be, that would be a huge remodel because you could not reconfigure it, put a ramp to the dais the way that room exists right now. You'd have to shut that one door and, so that we have not pursued the interior. And but the exterior is all ADA.
Yes, ADA. The exterior is correct.
Okay.
Anything further on the ADA compliance issue?
Yeah, I wanted to bring to your attention, this is what the state is doing.
Yep.
Is this still there?
Yep, that's
it. On. Yeah.
Okay. This is Morro Bay, where they have, the state has DG path everywhere, and the handicap ramps basically are not just the detectable warning surfaces, it's also concrete all the way around on the steep slope, as you can see. Mm-hmm. That's why they won't experience any major erosion. So on any future travel path, that's DG, we would suggest that we follow the state example by doing concrete, so it won't erode.
These from BC to BC with the ramp.
Yeah, just basically anything that's steep slope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything with a steep slope that basically won't.
Which is these areas.
Yeah.
This is generally flat. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I think that's it. I just wanted to show that, you know, even where it's joining, it's basically you can see that it hasn't been harmed or.
Oh, they need to trim the landscape.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
What is the minimum width for a sidewalk for ADA compliance?
State is 4 feet from the back of the curb.
4.5 to
from the blade back curve. Of the curb, not the face of the curb.
Right.
Okay.
Four and a half feet.
It's wider than it used
they
to.
They used to allow 4 feet to basically allow a portion of the curb to be part of the sidewalk, but the state came back and said no, that's not acceptable because there could be a differential between the curb and the front of the sidewalk, which causes the wheelchair to go.
Yeah.
Crazy a little bit, but yeah, that's the state is a lot tougher than
the
feds.
Yeah. Actually, if you have to get involved with Caltrans, we had a recent experience with a encroachment permit where they tried to force one of the agencies, one of the cities, to design 4 feet clear around a traffic signal pole. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty onerous for a busy, for an existing condition with major signal equipment to ask for 4 feet. And we argued and argued, and finally, it took like 3 weeks of argument for them to read the regulations the way that they were written instead of the way that they interpret it. So it depends on who's looking. We had to chase it all the way up to the head of the permits division and their boss. Mm-hmm. Because the staff at staff level, they tried to enforce the most
onerous
requirements for stuff that they don't have to pay for. Yeah. So,
of course.
Interesting. All right. Any other discussion on the ADA?
No? No, I think.
All right. Next meeting date, please. That looks good. So like in October.
Yeah.
Does that look good to you, Steve? That sounds good to us too. Yeah.
Yeah.
October 18th it is, 7:30 AM. Same place.
Do we have to check with the other two?
I'll send a note out to everybody.
Okay.
If that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
If there's a problem,
we'll reschedule. Absolutely. We'll plan on that. And no further discussion. We are adjourned. Mm-hmm.